Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, so that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Christ, edifying to you and your Christian life. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Father, we're so grateful for the freedom we enjoy in this country. And Father, we pray for every military personnel who is not at home this Sunday, but is out serving this country, protecting and securing the freedom that we might enjoy worshiping. We pray for their safety. We pray for their calmness. We pray for their welfare. Pray, Father, for their spiritual salvation and spirituality. We value them so mightily, Father. And now, Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to have the trumpet serenade us this morning, and we're going to sing I Surrender All, 347. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. That's when you surrender all. So, let's get ourselves going to sing 347, I Surrender All, to the trumpet.
Okay, so number 347, I Surrender All. A couple of things here. We're going to just add a little bit of texture to the song. It's a very simple melody, repeated three times and straight through. Very simple. And we're not going to have a theory class here and learn four-part harmony, but we're going to add just a tiny bit of harmony to it. So in the middle of the song, you know, where the arcade. Middle part goes, I surrender all. Then you have the bass line, I surrender all. You know, so those of you that tend to have a baritone voice and a bass voice, a low alto perhaps, want to go in there, let's add that because it'll be in this key right here.
How about beat short?
To Jesus.
That's been written in the 1950s. Purpose, accidental, something deferred, you know, I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Let's talk about announcements. And let's just start with the mailing and all. What we got, Laura?
Everyone brings what they signed up for next week. By next week, we will be good on all the stuff from the church, and the Wises are collecting in Plano, and we're getting all the stuff in Wiley, so we'll be ready to go for the mailing. If you haven't signed the cards yet, I know they've been being passed around, and everyone...
I still have some at home.
Okay, if I have some at home, I know there's a lot of signing still to do, and a lot that's been done, which is awesome. And we'll also include a little letter with each of them, just telling them that we're praying for them, and just something that's personal from us. We're still collecting donations for the gift cards. So if you want to do that, I've got the little bag for us for the collections, and so just let us know. And shipping is covered, so we'll get on that. So everyone be ready if you're here to assemble and pack up some boxes next week.
That's next Sunday.
Right after church.
In fact, while we're eating, the communion and all, we can be doing that. You have to lick any envelopes?
No. If you don't want to lick,
Yes.
I have a small announcement.
All right.
I was going to put the directory back there, and if anybody would like to update or add their information,
they can do it.
And if you want a copy of it, just let me know.
Very good.
I'll set that in the back.
Very good. All right.
Thank you for doing that.
Okay. Let's see. Any other announcements of these kind of things? All right. Let's talk. Yes.
Just quickly, from the pictures from the Veterans Day celebration at the park.
Yes.
I had taken the pictures that Natalie and I took and put them out on a website for everyone to have access to. But I sent the link to just a few people. The question is, did it work properly? Number two, did that link get spread around to everyone that wanted it to have access to those pictures?
I didn't get your link.
I sent it to you.
Okay.
I can send it out through the church. Right. I didn't know if they wanted me to do that or not, but I can send
it out. Yeah, it's available for anyone.
Okay.
But you have to have that link to access where I have it stored on my site.
Yeah.
Out
there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll add it to the church.
Then once you're out there, you can download the pictures, do whatever you want with them, whatever, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, you'll send it out. I went some weird way and couldn't get in, but I'm sure that if you
went the weird way. Left when you
went the weird way.
Yeah, just take that link and plug it into whatever browser you like to use, and you should have
that agony is rubbing off on you.
Well, we have three great photographers here. We got Jeff, Mike, and Leslie. Man, they've always got the cameras ready to go at it. That's going to be good. All right. That may be bad. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be in prayer for? How's Mom doing?
She's doing pretty good. She had a little bit of SAVE last night, and that's not good for her kidney, so she didn't feel great this morning.
SAVE's not good for her kidney? It's good for mine.
You're healthy. They kept him overnight, an extra night, because he was still in quite a bit of pain, but I didn't hear if he was coming home today or not. So.
Please be in prayer for Johnny. He is in severe pain. Terry, his daughter called me yesterday and told me he's in really severe pain, so he needs to be, need to be in prayer. And we're very thankful. Now we made it home from London.
Yeah.
And think about their view of their husband and joined us this morning. And yes.
We have a young lady, a part of our youth group, who tried to take her own life. We haven't seen her in a few months, but she's going to let it be anonymous, God knows. But if you guys please keep her. She's in eighth grade, and it is an epidemic, and we are seeing it into the Christian community, and we talk openly. I know the Wises do, and we do as well, at youth group, and we talk about it, and we pray about it, and we talk about when you're don't think that because you're a believer, you won't get into a dark, depressed, lonely place.
they need a lot of prayer, especially the 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade. Mm. It is unbelievable. Mm. Just at preschool this week, one of my fellow teachers, also in her church, same age, 8th grade girl, same kind of situation. So,
can we have her first name?
No,
that's fine. God knows.
Yes, God knows. Her family needs a lot of prayer. They are lost. They are believers, but they are in a very challenging place as well. She is under constant observation right now in a psychiatric facility, inpatient care for 7 days. They weren't sure where they were going beyond that. We're going to try to talk to the family today, but a lot of prayer. She's friends with a lot of other of our youth members and camp members too, so... Just nip it. We need to nip it in the bud. We need God to just nip it in the bud for us.
In your prayer, God knows this reference dates, and He'll know who you're praying for. Yes.
Well, I know the answer to this question is much more involved than what we have time for right now. But I was going to ask her, in just the short few words, what is the reason or the primary impetus for these young people to consider even doing that? What's going on that causes them to think this is the only way out?
And this young lady, we've known since she was tiny and has known God and is a believer. And I think there's such a feeling of hopelessness that is just spreading throughout the schools and in the movies and the TV and everything. Right. And inundated in their
social media is a big thing.
Everything has access to them. And there is such a hopelessness that is just inundated. Are they enough? They're not enough. It's everywhere around them.
I think some of these kids get on Facebook and they see everybody having fun. They're not having fun, or they're sitting alone and they don't have friends. And I think that's a huge part of their depression.
Yeah. She wanted to go to sleep and just never wake up. And never
mm-hmm. One of the things I heard yesterday, which I don't think about things like this, so. But the kids are exposed to a lot more demonic influence than we actually even realize in their internet dealings. Yeah. And I think that is subliminal, mm-hmm. and they don't realize what's going on, and nobody is warning them. Mm-hmm. And if it's a girl that's a believer, that's, fresh... Yeah.
Billy Graham, I don't think, would be successful today.
No.
Because the Bible is pretty much taken out of our society. The people he spoke to, the Word of God declares and says, and gave the gospel from the Bible, that woke them up. But today, I don't think people have respect for the Bible. It's not taught in a lot of the churches, verse by verse, word by word. I hate to keep bringing him up, but Joel Osteen just holds the Bible up, and then that's it. Holds it up, I understand, for other class, and then that's it. Doesn't talk about it, refer to it, or anything after that. No gospel. And young people do not have the stability of the Word of God, do not have the stability of Christ. And as you move into darkness, it's like what happens... The devil moves in. Demonic activity moves in. Where there is light, you will not have the demonic activity. But where there is darkness, and America is becoming a dark continent, very dark, and therefore greater demonic activity. I remember when I was young in the 50s, 60s, I used to, in Africa, they had all kinds of demonic activity going on, a lot of demon things going on. And we don't have any over here because we were pretty much oriented the Bible. But now we're becoming dark, and so Satan is moving in with all of his forces. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we are a darkened continent and a darkened people. We have no hope. Mm-hmm. And that centers on our young people. And it's just amazing. I'm so thankful for Wes. He is bringing so many, especially black young people, to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. It's just amazing what he's doing. And I have zero negative comment about him. He's just so phenomenal in what he's doing. I did study a little bit about the preacher that he listens to in California. And that preacher says
The Word of God is the sole authority of every person and everything we do in life. Science, math, everything. It's the
sole authority. I went, amen. That's great. And so he's got the gospel straight. He's got the authority of the Word of God straight. And I understand he's even getting his wife straightened out a little bit. But it's just, I'm just going to continue to pray. Because he's going to reach people that I don't think a Billy Graham can reach anymore. Today, in today's society, in today's world. They're just not going to listen. But they will listen to West and his songs. His singing's not mine. It's rap. It's not my singing. But boy, it's communicating the gospel to these young people. And that's beautiful.
I heard that Kanye West was at Joel Osteen's church down in Houston like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And something like 17,000 or 20,000 young people, you know, grabbed up the tickets to that and went to it.
Yeah.
You know, they were free tickets, but they went.
They are not normally there.
They weren't there, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of the gospel was mentioned there, but I know in his rap, he talks about Christ.
I hope Joel Osteen heard it. I'm serious. There were a lot of
hundreds of young people, maybe thousands, came that would not have normally been there. And I just thank God every time I hear he's going to speak somewhere. And just continue being in prayer for him. Absolutely. But, yes.
I know we talk about this being an epidemic with the young people, but, y'all, it's an epidemic in our society. It just happens to be catching our attention because we're so close to the young people and when it hits homes, too. But it's happening. This isn't a young people problem.
No.
This is a societal problem. It's a God problem. It's a Bible problem. Be in prayer for... I mean, we've lost youth, have had parents that have committed suicide.
Yeah.
Our youth have had parents that have committed suicide. It's the easy answer to what they think is the long-term problem. And it's not a long-term problem.
It's epidemic.
It's
in
society.
The military.
It's society.
And among veterans, it's an epidemic.
And Christ is the only answer. The Word of God is the only stability. And I'll never make apology for talking to you about the aorist active indicative or the PL imperfect and stuff, because that's understanding the scriptures. And that's what stabilizes our soul. And in fact, our three messages last week, actually four or five, last week, this week, and then 2 weeks from tonight, today we're going to continue in this thing. But dealing with the predestination, how we're predestined in Christ, not outside of Christ, but in Christ. And there's just so many things we have to understand about the doctrines before we can get to that. We've got to understand our position in Christ. We've got to understand the sovereignty of God. We've got to understand the love of God. And why? Because it says in love he predestined. So we've got to understand his love. Got to understand his sovereignty. Got to understand the doctrine of divine decrees. Then we'll come to predestination and it'll be a piece of cake. It'll be no problem. The problem that the Calvinists have is an incorrect view of sovereignty. So we've got to understand what sovereignty is. And we've got to understand what his love is. And these kinds of things. How can you call it love if he predestined one to go to heaven and one to go to hell? And he predestined them. That's not love. So predestination is based on his love. We've got to understand the love of God. We've got to understand the sovereignty of God. We've got to understand the divine decrees of God. Then we're ready for understanding predestination. But I get ahead of myself. So, the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give. Yes, I'm sorry.
Call for last prayer. So one prayer of thanksgiving, the colleague of mine who had the house fire, they have already gotten settled into a temporary home, and they were able to get like 90% of the clothes. Company came and took them all, cleaned them all, so their clothes-wise is good. And, well, there's a cleaning company that does that. And but so that was, he's just grateful, right? His family's
good.
Safe. But my girlfriend Judith is continuing to struggle quite a bit. We were supposed to meet yesterday, and she didn't even have the strength to. So she's really struggling.
Yes.
And a church member back in New York's son was found at 4 o'clock in the morning, beat up. Somebody beat him up really bad alongside the highway.
Do they know why?
No reason at all.
Okay.
Larry and Mackenzie are traveling Tuesday back from Washington. Back to Washington, D.C.
They're in D.C. now?
Well, not D.C.
Washington State.
Oh, Washington State. Oh, okay.
So, yes, they are in Washington State right now.
Okay.
And they're traveling back Tuesday. And Brian and Ryan are alone.
Yep.
Who is it?
Brian and Ryan are.
That's where the prayer is going.
Be a prayer for them. Thank you. All right. People, we're closing out the year. And I know that there are very good causes to give your money to at the close of the year, where you get the income tax discounts and all that type of thing, tax shelter and all for giving. I've often said if I were a multimillionaire, I'd give to the Shriner Hospital. Their TV advertisement just gets me every time I see the little children and things that they do. So there are a lot of good, save the wells. What could be more important than saving the wells? And God can't do that, so we got to help him. But just remember, we have a lot of uses for the finances here. We have the internet. We have our young people. We have missionaries. There's so many different things. Just to let you know, the church is going to give $200 to the Coopers. They have to go to Tulsa or Oklahoma City. Her father, his father, just died. So we're going to send $200, just help out a little bit, and rather than flowers and stuff like that. But so these are just opportunities that we have. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, how thankful we are for the opportunity we have to tell others of Jesus Christ. The internet, our young people, missionaries, right here in our own assembly, Father. Therefore, Father, we pray to receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use these offerings, Father, to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We pray, Father, that in 2020, give us more opportunities. Open the door to something new that we're not even ready for, that we can spread the gospel and news about Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In response to the death of his four daughters, who died, in fact, it was just Friday, 76, but anyway, sometime in that frame, his four daughters were and mother and his wife were on a ship going from America to England to be part of a revival, and they ran into a severe climate, ship wreck. Four daughters died, wife survived. He later on was on a ship, and the captain told him it was in this very area that his four daughters had died. And that's when he came up with the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And Stafford had just experienced so many things as a result of his four daughters dying. There's church in Chicago told him to leave. He was bad luck. He was in cahoots with Satan. That's why his daughters died. They asked him to leave the church. Instead of embracing him, encouraging him, and loving him, they abandoned him. That's why he left. He ended up living in Israel, and he formed an orphanage for children, Jewish and Gentile, that his parents were gone, because he felt for his four daughters. So, I'm so thankful you played that this Sunday. Okay, does anyone not have elected in Christ? Anyone not have it? Okay, everybody have a copy. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourselves. If you're trusting in the Spirit, the Spirit is so important for the understanding of the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll not correctly understand it. So let's spend a moment in prayer, getting ready for a study, elected in Christ. The doctrine of election is close to the doctrine of predestination, it causing a lot of confusion and disruption and division in the body of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your sovereignty. It's your sovereign God, the sovereign God. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you elected your Son and then elected everyone that is in your Son. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of this vital doctrine. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Elected in Christ. We've studied position in Christ. Now we're looking at election in Christ. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he, God the Father, chose us, every believer in Jesus Christ, the Savior, in him. What does it mean to be chosen by God? What is the true understanding of divine election? As we'll see with the predestination, it's greatly confused, distorted. Some people teach you're elected outside of Christ to be in Christ. No, you're not. We've got to correctly understand what the sovereignty of God is doing. Now, next Sunday, please, be here. I mean, Kit has done some work on the doctrine of dispensations. People, I've been taught by a Bible teacher, one of the best, Dallas Seminary, and since, there's stuff in here I've never even seen. This is good material on dispensations next Sunday morning. So please be here and listen to what Kit is going to pass out, not pass out, but pass out to you, and be here. But when I get back, we're going to study understanding the predestination. There's just so many things we've got to understand. We've got to understand the sovereignty of God, the love of God, doctrine of divine decrees, and then election and predestination fall into place. So what does it mean to be elected? Point one, the problem. Does God arbitrarily, I just jump right to it. This is not like point one to point and go to the, just jump right to it. Does God arbitrarily choose who will believe and who will not believe? Who will be saved and who will not be saved? Did God create all mankind and then just choose who would spend eternity in the lake of fire? And who would spend eternity in the eternal state? What's your view of God? The hyper-Calvinist position is that is exactly what God does. And then they call it grace. Well, it's grace for those who are elected to be with God forever. But how can it be called grace if you've been elected to spend eternity in the lake of fire? See? There's another view to election. I call it the biblical view, the grace view, understanding what the Scriptures has to say about it. So point two, to correctly understand the doctrine of election, we must start with the only one in history who is truly elected. That is Jesus Christ, is the only person elected in eternity past. A, by my chosen one. Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Behold, take full note. My servant, Obed, one who serves the desire or goal of another, whom I uphold. The Hebrew means to uphold, to support. He tells us how he upholds his servant. I have put my spirit upon him. That's how he upholds Christ. People, that's how he upholds us. The power of his spirit. Then it says, whom I uphold. He upholds him by his spirit. The Holy Spirit. What kind of God do you have? It gets to the major question. What is your view of God? God never asks us anything that he has not first given. Hold your place and look. I don't know why I put that in there. I'm typing along, forgetting this whole thing. But anyway, he put it in Galatians 3:5. So hold your place and look at Galatians 3:5 in front of you. Does he, God the Father, then, who provides, supplies you, the believer, with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and works miracles among you, and it should be translated, even working power. Works is a participle. Miracles is the word power, even working power in you, not among you. The Greek says in you. Do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed and cannot lose our salvation. But we still have free will to access the provisions of God, to access the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, by faith or not. This is by the grace of God, for otherwise we would fail in sin. Now, back to Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold. Now we come to our study of the doctrine of the election of Christ. My chosen one. King James translates it, mine elect, which I like. Next we have an adjective used to specify just who his servant is. The Aver meaning chosen. Chosen for a special mission. Therefore, it is used of others in Scripture, but only one was chosen for the mission of being the Messiah, the Savior. Next, we have a special relationship between God and his elect, in whom my soul delights. Now, people, I'm just going to tell you something. If you are in Christ, God delights over you. Think about that. One of the problems for so many people, Christians, desiring to take their own life, getting so discouraged, disillusioned, is that they don't understand the Scriptures. Just sit back and think for a moment. When you become really despondent, God delights in you. He delights in you. God delights in you. How could he delight in me? I'm miserable. I'm a sinner. I've had an abortion. I'm this. I'm that. How could he delight in me? Because of you're in Christ. That's why. And Christ is his chosen one. Know who you are. I cannot overemphasize last week's study, position in Christ. But this is added to that. See? Next we have a special relationship, in whom my soul delights. Look at Matthew 12:18. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Hebrew, soul delights. Greek, my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. 3:17, Matthew 3:17. Behold, a voice out of the heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a cloud, a bright cloud, overshadowed them. behold a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wednesday night, studied in Ezekiel about the cloud, how important cloud is to the appearance of God and Christ throughout history. He will be seen going up in a cloud. He will be seen coming back at the second advent by a cloud. Now, back to Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. So Jesus Christ is the only person elected from eternity past. Now let's look at two passages that we did not look at in our flow of the Greek words here. Luke 23:35. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If this be the Christ of God, his chosen one. The Christ, the Messiah, that means anointed one. Christ is not a translation. Christ is a transliteration. When you say Christ, you've just spoken Greek. See? Now, the Christ, the anointed one of God, his chosen one. This is an adjective, electos, one chosen, one elected by God. The scary thing here is that while they are sneering at him, they actually say the truth. They actually purge themselves, which of course is condemnation on them. Because in their sneering, they said the truth. For in truth, Jesus Christ is the only one elect by God in eternity past for this mission. Peter gets into it. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in foundation in Zion a cornerstone. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a precious stone, cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. That's the simple gospel. See that word chosen stone? Well, that is our adjective electos. And only the King James translates it elect. I lay in Zion an elect stone, a precious corner stone. Please forgive me. I've got to tell you something else about the King James. In our 9:15 class, we were studying along, and the New American Standard says carousing. The King James says chamber. What is chambering? Do I know what chambering is? Chambering is sexual immorality. That's what chambering is. I can't wait to get back to my grandchildren. Don't you be chambering, see? And let them go home and look it up, see? So, sometimes the King James is right on. Sometimes it leaves us wanting. Okay. So, B, the election of Jesus Christ took place in eternity past. We'll study this in a couple of weeks dealing with the Doctrine of Divine Decrees. In the Eternal Life Conference, we share his election. Ephesians 1:4, which we will take up. 1 Peter 1:2. No one is elected outside of Christ. There is no one is elected to believe in Jesus Christ. But once one does believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they are positioned in Christ and therefore share His election. We have so many things we need to cover. He is predestined in love. What does that mean, in love? So we got to understand His love, His sovereignty, divine decrees, eternal life conference, all these things to understand predestination. Let's look at C. In eternity past, God the Father purposed a plan in Jesus Christ. The plan of God centers on the person of Christ. Ephesians 3:11. So Jesus Christ is the only elected one in eternity past. But even then, He as God made the decision, the choice, to come and die for the human race. John 10:17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative, free will decision. People never take free will away from God. One of the problems with hyper-Calvinists, they have a problem with his sovereignty. To give man volition is to impugn his sovereignty in their opinion. To me, it glorifies his sovereignty that no matter what man does, he will be glorified, his plan will be done, fulfilled. That's sovereignty. That's true sovereignty. To say that giving man free will it impugns his sovereignty, that limits his sovereignty. But if we can just say he gives man free will, he's not worried about it. His sovereignty will be fulfilled. All right, Roman numeral 3. The heart of the doctrine of election. A. Jesus Christ is the only one elected, predestined by God. B. All members of the human race are potentially elected to the plan of God because of unlimited atonement. What's unlimited atonement? He died for everyone. Limited atonement says only for the elect did he die. Unlimited atonement, which is clearly taught in the Word of God, says he died for everyone. No unbeliever will ever have to answer for his or her sins. At the great white throne judgment, sins will not be brought up. That's not why they're there. They're there for a sin singular, refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. And then the basis of their condemnation is going to be all their good works. God will put all their good works against the good works of his Son on the cross. And guess who wins? See? So, this is very important. B, all members of the human race are potentially elected to the plan of God because of unlimited atonement. C, the election of believers is that we are elected in Christ. Not to be in Christ are saved, but all who believe are in the election of Jesus Christ. We share his election. Here we are as unbeliever. Here's Christ, the elect one. We believe in him. We're in him by baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're elected in him. Okay? C. The election of believers is that we are elected in Christ. Not to be in Christ, are saved, but all who believe are in the election of Jesus Christ. We share his election. As just a simple earthly example. It has flaws, but it just is an example. A father and mother elect whoever their son marries to be in the family. Today I think that's a little risky, but nevertheless, they make that decision. Whoever our, and I stand with the son for Jesus Christ, whoever our son marries, whoever marries our son, they are elect to be in this family. They will share in the inheritance and the family name and all. That's what this means. They do not elect or choose who will marry their son. They don't do that. The son chooses, and then the woman chooses, decides that yes. But whomever does marry their son is elected into the family because she is one in their son. On the personal basis, they may not like the girl who chooses to marry their son, but they have already decided that they will elect that person into the family. This is an analogy of our election. We are not elected to believe or not believe in his son. What kind of God is that? I'm going to elect you not to believe in my son. I love my son. I'm pleased with my son. I've chosen my son. But I'm going to make you where you won't believe in him. What is that? What kind of God is that? See? That's why we got to understand God, the essence of God. God the Father elected, chose, predestined Jesus Christ in eternity past. Then he elected, chose, predestined all who believe in his Son as their Savior. See? Mother and father, We love our son. Whoever our son marries, whoever marries our son, they're in our family. We don't choose them. We may not even like them. But they are elect into our family. That's what God the Father does. See? I often wonder sometimes, John and Henson, I often wonder if sometimes he hasn't wished he hadn't made that decision with some of the people that do believe. See? Just to make my point, what if Adolf Hitler believed in Jesus Christ? How would you like to be God in that deal? He's killing your people, but he's in your son. He's in the elect. See? So, this is the doctrine of election. He elected Christ, and whoever is in Christ, they're in. They're in. So Jesus Christ is the elected one, the predestined one, and you share this election by choosing for Christ, by faith, in Christ, as your Savior. Okay? Ephesians 1:4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. You see the love there? We've got to understand the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the will of God, the divine decrees of God to understand the predestination by God. Now, let's take a look at it. Just as He, God the Father, chose us, verb of election, in Him. The place of election is in Jesus Christ. Not outside of Christ, not to be in Christ, but in Christ. And the question, how are we in Christ? By faith in Jesus Christ. At the point of faith in Christ, we are placed by the Holy Spirit in Christ, and at that point, we share the election of Christ. This is one of the 34 things you receive the moment you believe in Christ as Savior. You are in Christ. You cannot lose it. This is the hope, the confidence, the calmness we have when someone we love that's a believer dies. I don't care how they die, even if it's suicide. They don't lose it. Catholic Church teaches they lose it. They don't lose it. He died for that. See? And there's our hope, our confidence. They're with Him. See? In Him. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, before the creation of the world. Now, some point in eternity past, that we should be holy. He did this at some point in eternity past. We'll take that up under the doctrine of divine decrees. Here's what He agreed, we should be holy and blameless. As Jesus Christ is holy and blameless, you see, we are not chosen because we are holy. You're not chosen because you're blameless, but by being in Christ. God makes us holy. God makes us blameless. And at that point, we share His election before Him, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, God the Father. In love, He, God the Father, I'll come to love later, predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. We now share the adoption of Jesus Christ as sons of God because of simple faith in Christ. People, faith is the battle. We don't walk by sight. This is where jealousy, envy arises. Anytime you're jealous or envious, you know one thing. I'm walking by my sight. We've got to walk by faith. Faith in Him, and where is He? At the right hand of the Father. So we set our mind on things above, not on things on earth. See? When you find yourself being envious or jealous, what's going on? You know you're in the flesh. You know you're walking by sight. See? We saw it on 9:15 class, how important this coming week is. So often, people get with family members on Thanksgiving. See? And that can arouse all kinds of family fights, family feuds. You might become jealous. You're jealous of their children. You're jealous of their home. You're jealous of their car. You're jealous or envious about something. The moment that happens, nip it. You know you're not in the spirit. You know you're in the flesh. And you know you're walking by sight. Does not matter. We walk by faith. We can't see with our natural eye. We see with our faith the right hand of God the Father. That's where you're rich. Church of Smyrna, you're poor. According to the eye of man, you're poor. According to the eye of God, you're rich. You're rich. This is what we have. So, predestined is adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Timothy 1:9. According to the kind intention of His will, this is grace, and takes up the doctrine of divine decrees at the Eternal Life Conference. 2 Timothy 1:9, who, God the Father, has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, you're not holy or blameless, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. See, that word granted, you don't even earn or deserve it. It's granted to us because you're in Christ. See? That's what this is. Go back to my earthly example. The mother and father, let's just make the point, they're very wealthy. Their son marries a very poor girl. Analogy to the human race. She, all of a sudden, when she says, I do, she becomes rich. She shares his wealth. She shares his name. She shares his election as their son. That's the way it is with us, people. We're that poor woman standing at the altar. When we believe in his son, we're reunited with him. United with him forever. And we share all of his riches. All of his glory. They belong to you. Think about that if you ever get discouraged in life. Despondent. Think of how rich you are in Christ. Alright? Again, note, when this took place, eternity past. Jesus Christ is the only one elected or predestined. We share the election of His Son, Jesus Christ, the moment we believe in Him. Therefore, we experience election at the moment of salvation, saving faith in Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Now, let's go to Roman numeral 4. It is not the character of God to create anyone to be in the eternal lake of fire. I will dwell on this when we come to the love of God, but let's just quickly note it now. It is not the nature, the character, the essence of God to create anyone to be in the eternal lake of fire. People, if you know Him, if you know anything about His love, that's contrary to His love. Love does not create so that it can destroy. That's not the love of God. That may be the love of some people, but not the love of God. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promise as to the final events in history, as some count slowness, but is patient in His sequence of human history, dispensations, which you'll hear about next Sunday morning, toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. People, when a Calvinist talks to you, they cannot answer this verse. If he wished that everyone, how can he say, they can't because I've destined them to a lake of fire. I've already destined them. I've already elected them. I've already predestinated them to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, but I wish that's hypocrisy. You're calling God a hypocrite, a liar. God cannot lie. Scripture is very clear on that. It is against God's character and His word that any should be elected or predestined to the second death or eternal lake of fire. Why are people in the lake of fire? They chose to be there. They chose to be there. Why would anyone choose to be in a lake of fire? People, look at life. People make bad decisions all the time. See? Romans 10:13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But there are those who claim that he does not allow everyone to call upon him if they choose to do so. This is blasphemy of God's character and contradicts Scripture. 2 Chronicles 19:7. Now, then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do, for the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness or partiality or the taking of a bribe. See? Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take hold and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor the taking of gifts. Now, NIV, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. I love that one. That's why it's in here. No injustice. Is your God a just God? If your God's a just God, he does not predesign this person to go to the lake of fire, that person to believe. He doesn't just arbitrarily make those decisions. Where is the justice in that? That is unjust. Oh, if you're in the elect, oh, it's just. It's grace. It's wonderful. But what if you're not in the elect? See? Well, I can't worry about them. No, you don't. Because you don't concern yourself with God. God is not a God who judges unjustly. So, this is the issue we're looking at. Three different translations of the Hebrew word evel, which can be translated in any one of the three ways. No part in unrighteousness, no iniquity, no injustice. And all three are valid translations. That's your God. No unrighteousness, no iniquity, no injustice. So if a person is in a lake of fire, they chose to be there. So, it would be against the character of God and His Word for God to choose someone to go to the lake of fire. Principle. Do not be caught in the debater's trap of taking one verse, which perhaps you do not understand right now, to try to prove a theory that is in opposition to the divine principles set forth in Scripture, or that is not compatible with the character of God in Scripture. They can do that. A fast talking, smooth talking, fast thinking, pull up verses. Well, see, it says right here. See? Don't fall for that. If you don't understand that verse, rely on the verses you do understand about God, His character, His essence. See? Go over and think your way through what you have studied and do not be blasphemous to the sovereignty of God. What is your view of the sovereignty of God? Now, Romans 5 in our study. The idea that anyone is elected to hell, lake of fire, or heaven, without the freedom of faith decision in Jesus Christ is four things. One, incompatible with the grace of God. Is it grace to be elected to spend eternity in a lake of fire? No. Secondly, incompatible with the character of God. Your view of God. He's not unjust. C. 3, it makes a farce out of God's grace plan. It's not a grace plan if he's already elected who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. And finally, it impugns the essence of God, namely sovereignty, love, righteousness, justice, faithfulness, and fairness. It impugns all of those of God. Don't be guilty of that. Roman 6. Election is based on the decision of God, on the will of God, not on the decision of man or the will of man. We cannot will to be elected. And our decision of faith simply appropriates the will of God to be in the elect. The Bible sets up principles about God like grace, love, fairness, sovereignty. It does not violate these principles. And I gave you several passages. By the way, as I go through this, you got any questions, raise your hand. We're here to learn. 7, election is based on the person of Jesus Christ, and we are elected in Christ. We share many things with Christ along with His election. We share the life of Christ. Scripture reference. We share His righteousness. Scripture reference. We share His sonship. We share His heirship. There's your predestination. We share His priesthood. People, you're your own priest. You share your priesthood with Christ. You don't need to go to a priest and confess or have them pray. Over my 45 years of the ministry, I've had people about, well, you're in with God when you pray. And I make sure, hey, I'm in no more in with God than you are. Well, I know, no, you don't. You think, somehow I'm closer to God. You're just as much a priest before Him as I am. Pray for yourself. I will pray for you. I certainly will do that. But you can pray for yourself. His rulership. We share His rulership. His sanctification. A lot of people are confused about sanctification. They don't understand. We're sanctified in Christ. His destiny. His election. Point 8. This election took place in eternity past. Doctrine of Divine Decrees, which we will look at. Jesus Christ was the elected in eternity past. God made a decision in eternity past to elect any and all who believe in His Son. In the Old Testament, in the coming Messiah. New Testament, we know His name and His person, Jesus Christ. But God the Father said, whoever believes in the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, is share His election. Point 9, election is on the basis of grace. Romans 11:5, Galatians 1:6, and people, again I emphasize, if it's election to the lake of fire, that's not grace. So election to be based on grace has to be grace to all. 9, 10, election is always on the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Election becomes effective the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. Get back to my earthly example. The moment that young lady says, I do, that's done. That's it. If you've decided they're going to be in your family, they're in. You can't stand up and holler and say, I'm out of here. See? Now, he might win too, but not you, the parent. See? So, this is in. Now, you share this election by choosing to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the I do in principle. A passage that puts this all together, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:1, who are chosen. 1 Peter 1:2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This happened in eternity past, based on the omniscience of God. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us that you may obey Jesus Christ. How do we obey Jesus Christ? By faith. John 3:36, it teaches that obedience is faith. And be, continue the reading now, and be sprinkled with His blood. Come under the covering of His efficacious work on the cross. That is, coming under the effect of the spiritual death of Christ. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. And if you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, it will be. 11, personal orientation to election comes through biblical truth in the human spirit. Personal orientation to election, understanding of it, comes through biblical understanding of the truth in the human spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And 12, election is the present as well as the future blessing of every believer. Therefore, your election should have an impact in your present life. Colossians 3:12, and so, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, before you turn the page, here's what I recommend. If you're one of those who are with your family on Thanksgiving Day, for 10 years I've celebrated Thanksgiving with Judah's family, and I've loved it and going to miss it, but my brother called and said he's going to have a family reunion this Thanksgiving, so we're going to go to Houston. They're coming from California, Colorado, and everywhere. So here's what I recommend we all do, me included. Read Colossians 3:12, Thanksgiving morning. As those who have been chosen by God, holy, beloved, put on, before you get with them, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with that cousin, bearing with your brother, bearing with your sister, bearing with members of your family, and forgiving each other, forgiving them that you didn't get the drumstick, forgiving them whatever it is, little or big. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. People, you don't want them to see you this Thanksgiving. You want them to see the Lord. How will they see the Lord? When you love as He loved. See? That's how they see the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you're mine. That's what you want them to see. Who and what Christ is to you. See? Not who and what you are. The reason we study these things is not so you can boast, brag, and put down people at the dinner table, but so that you'll know the truth when the lie is spoken, say, election, predestination, and be able to, in love and in kindness, be able to show them what scoundrels know. Be able to reveal to them the truth of these things from God's perspective of grace and love. That's why it's here. So I suggest Thanksgiving morning, Colossians 3, 12, and 13. And finally, point 13, election is on the basis of facing suffering with blessing. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for everyone. That's not what it says. For every believer, that's not what it says. For those who love God, that means the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. To those who are called according to His purpose, to love as Christ loved. Please enjoy your election in Christ every day, in everything you do or say or think, especially Thanksgiving Day. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, you've just taken the fun out of Family Feud this Thanksgiving. Because, Heavenly Father, we're going to love as Christ loved. Gentleness. Not strife and division. But in gentleness, in truth, and in spiritual love. Father, I pray your Spirit can use what we've learned about election this morning to the honor and glory of Christ as we live our life living as one who are elected. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.